Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go, here we go. We got another one for you, dear listener. Ain't this game over yet? 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, this is the Late Night Alternative. My name is Ian Lee. Who's that girl?
I'm Catherine Boyle.
Hey, how you doing, Boyle?
I'm all right.
Someone was cooking. It's too hot, man. I swear to God, it's too hot. Someone was cooking a very, very nice Chinese meal earlier on, and we could smell it. It made our pizzas that we'd got from Domino's smell a little bit ropey, but it's just coming in through the house, and I just, oh, man alive, I could murder a Chinese meal right now.
A succulent Chinese meal.
Two bits of business before we continue and introduce our guest, and I say guest, I suspect we'll be sidetracked and pushed to the back of the room. But if you want to give us a call about anything, you know the deal, 0344 499 1000. Boring bit of business. Sam, I don't think you've got TeamViewer open at your end. That's certainly what it's saying here. So I don't know if you can do anything, and then I can jump in and I can see phone box and stuff like that. Thank you very much indeed. And I'm thrilled. We were supposed to have him last week, and me and Kath were having a little bit of a wobble, and he took it very kindly when we stood him down, and I'm thrilled to have him back. Ladies and gentlemen, the inventor of this genre, it's only Mr. Robbie Vincent. Hey, Robbie, how you doing?
Okay, I'm used to being stood up. Don't worry about it. I don't take it personally. It's lovely to rub vocal cords with megastars. You know, it's really nice to be with you, Ian.
Now, listen,
how
Robbie,
are you both? Let me.
Oh, you go know, on, you I do t- it. You do it. I'll shut up. Go on.
What? No, look, no, listen. I couldn't possibly take over the whole show, but I could. What I'd like you to do is. What we're going to do, we're going to up the ante, and
yes,
the telephone number. So can somebody do the telephone number for me again, please?
Yes, sir. It's 0344 499 1000.
Okay. I used to remember my numbers really well, but I can't remember yours. If you'd like to join in the conversation, use that number, because you'll probably be a darn sight more fun. Do you know what I've been thinking today? Here's something. Well, Scotland and Ireland and Wales are dealing with this dreadful virus in different ways. And I'm talking about the positive side now, where we're slightly becoming unlocked, and I walk around with chains on just to remind me. And I just got the feeling we might reach the stage where it'll happen, you know, county by county. So say, for instance, let's use two examples, maybe Kent and two together, Kent and Surrey. And you can do things in Kent that you can't do in Surrey. And listening to all the different decisions and the different times. And we're actually a fairly small United Kingdom. I mean, Wales is not massive. Northern Ireland's not massive. Even the UK is tiny on the map. Yeah, they're all doing different things. I mean, I just wonder what the team think about that. And you know what also I was thinking about? I heard about people who've been furlonged. And then somebody said, no, Robbie, furlongs, just because you watch horse racing doesn't mean everything's in furlongs. It's furloughed.
Yeah.
I heard a guy, and he was a skydiver. I thought, oh, gosh, this is going to be good. And what on earth does a skydiver do when he can't work? And I thought he was going to say something fantastic, you know, like he was guarding our shores or something. You know what he does?
Go on.
He works for Amazon and absolutely loves it.
But hang on, is he's not jumping out of planes with the packages, is he?
He could do that, couldn't
that
he?
That would be good.
And I keep looking up, and that's the other thing, isn't it? Imagine having things delivered by air, you know, your own personal little aircraft. Anyway, that's enough from me.
Have you ever jumped out of an aeroplane, Robbie?
That's a really good question. The answer, I've done lots of things.
Yeah.
No.
No, good. It does not, I just don't get what the buzz of that is. Have you ever done it, Kath? You've not done it,
have you?
You're sensible.
No, I don't fancy it. But my sister turned 40 last month, and my brother-in-law got in touch with us beforehand and said, would you like to put in for her big present? And I went, yeah, sure. What are you getting her? Skydive.
Skydive. No. Does he not love her then?
Well, I said, just to flag up to everyone else, this is not a fun present for me, so don't even think about it. No. But apparently she's bang up for it. Absolute nut job.
And the skydive as well. That's incredible. It doesn't appear. It's funny, Robbie, you mentioned about the different counties. And by the way, it's so nice to hear your voice again, man. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. But they were saying last week, weren't they, because it was different rules in England and Wales. Wales were saying, if you come over from England, now that England's allowed to move, you know, for a day trip or a bit of exercise, you'll get arrested.
Yes.
So everything is divided up. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was a fantastic question I thought it was actually going to be in the number 10 briefing. Well, yawn, that has become. But this guy said, look, I live, and I can't remember where he lives, but he said, I live nearer to Scotland than I do to England, so should I go to Scotland or should I go to England? And then another guy said, I live in England, but I work in Wales.
Oh, God. So it's all over the
And we forget that. I mean, these border towns.
How have you found it, Robbie? Because I've had moments of... The first couple of weeks, I hated it, and I was thinking, this is the end of the world. Then I've kind of got into a groove. And actually, lockdown, for whatever it is now, because it's changed so much, I've kind of quite enjoyed it, because I don't really go out anywhere, and... anyway, and I can do the radio show from home and it sounds all right and I still see my kids. And so how have you found it?
Now, I've got a little bit of honesty here. I must admit, I do miss one thing badly.
Uh-oh.
My son's dog. But apart from that, I think everything... Like you, it's a sort of, you know what's going to happen, don't you? I don't mean that just about the dog. I actually, you know, I'd like to see my son and his partner as well.
Oh, I miss my mum.
That was
terribly.
A joke in case he gets the hump and he'll just be on the phone and getting cross with me. He can get cross. He's very cantankerous girl. But I do think what's going to change, going to be some big changes. A lot of people will work from home. And a lot of the... being stuck at home, like you saying, being boring, you don't go anywhere. But I just miss, I'd like to go to the theatre, the cinema, an art gallery or a beautiful garden and all that sort of stuff. But it hasn't been the end of the world. But then, if you've got a tiny yard you can sit in on your own,
yes,
there's a huge difference between that
and
flat life. And I think all those people who have abided by the rules and live in a small accommodation, they should be knighted. They should get medals, because for them, this has been an utter nightmare. Whereas if you've got that little bit of space, which I'm lucky enough to have, I think it's completely different. I don't know if you agree.
I know, of course it does, and Catherine and I, we always address the fact that we're in an incredibly privileged position in that we're still working. Actually, we're saving money because we're not driving into London every single night.
So speak to
Rupert Murdoch, he'll sort you out. And I've got a nice house, and I've got a bit of a garden, and I share my kids with my ex-wife, and we're if you're living in a one-bedroom flat or a tower block or whatever... It's a completely different experience.
It is.
To what I've been going through.
And I think this should not be underestimated as well. And when you hear all these people bleating about, you know, about, oh, why do people do this and why do people do that? I actually get quite cross when people deliberately flout the rules and make no effort whatsoever. But I have huge, huge sympathy for people who think they just can't even go out for a walk. It's not so bad now, it's improved. But I thought they showed real good spirit, and I think they should be rewarded, even if it's by us now just saying thank you very much, because they're the sort of people, you know, in the small accommodations who deserve our applause.
Let's put this out there. Let's put this out there. We like to do this every now and then. We ask sometimes, Robbie, we ask people to phone up and speak dirty to us. Now, speaking dirty in 2020 is slightly different from 2019. I don't want to hear about sexual exploits. I want people to phone up and tell us about when they were in crowded pubs, when they were in, when they were at concerts, when they were in small comedy venues, when they were sat on a crowded bus before all of this happened, and we were allowed to do that. So if you're listening, and you just wanna spend 30 seconds, 60 seconds describing something hot and sweaty with a lot of other people that we're not allowed to do anymore, 0344 499 1000. Robbie, say hello to Bill.
Bill.
How are you, Bill?
Oh, I'm fantastic. What a pleasure it is to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Bill. I've been waiting 70 years to hear from you, and this is a real moment.
I first heard you in the early 70s, Robbie, on Radio London about this time of night. So what a fantastic memory to hear your voice again after all these years.
You heard what we were talking about just now. How's the lockdown affected you? How old are you? Tell me. This is something I don't normally ask men. Bill, how old are you?
I'm 60, Robbie.
You're 60?
Yes.
How has this lockdown affected you? And this was a question that Ian put to me. How's it affected you?
Well, I live in a block of flats, Robbie, which is fairly quiet. So it's quite quiet here. Nothing much goes on. Go for my sort of daily walk around the block and go for my weekly shop. But I quite like the quiet life, Robbie. So
do you?
I'm fine.
So I mean, I don't take this in the wrong way. So you're quite happy with a fairly boring life?
Exactly.
Or is that being unkind, Bill? And this is a conversation. I'm not being judgmental. A happy, quiet, you know, walk around the block. Even if you weren't locked down, you do that. Is that right?
Exactly. Well, let me give you an example of, you might say how boring it was, but I used to make the space between 12 and 2.30 every lunchtime during the 70s, 80s. Whatever I was doing, it was your show, Robbie. That was it. You were such a role model to me, and I'm not joking.
Oh, it's very kind of you to say that. Isn't that nice, Ian? Do people ever say nice things like that to you?
Not yet, Robbie, but I'm not as old as
well,
you.
I'll say it to you. Listen, I'll say it to you. As one of the founding fathers of phoning radio, and I don't know whether I should be put down or not for it, I just want to say I think you're brilliant. And I'm really pleased you turned up tonight, because it's an experience. And I mean that with great sincerity. Bill, you're brilliant.
Oh, really?
It's lovely to talk to you. Deep respect.
Bill, what have you been listening to during this lockdown? Because I'm a huge radio geek, right? I love radio more than TV, more than anything. And I've had to completely change my listening habits, because I we're talking about it tonight, and that's fine. But I've been overwhelmed. And I know Kath has as well. We've been overwhelmed on the radio with the number of deaths and the number of people that are suffering. And, what you know, it's been quite intense. And I like a little bit of light relief. I like a little bit of entertainment. I like a laugh. I like a giggle. And there's not really been that much of that on the radio. So have you had to change your listening habits, Bill?
Well, I'm a great fan of yours, Ian, and Kath. And I think the one skill that you, Robbie, and Kath share is you actually listen to the callers, where some radio hosts just try to be controversial for the sake of it.
Yeah, oh, it took me a long time to get
bright.
It took me a long time to get the listening. It took me a real long time to get. It's not about me. It's about listening. And I used to do the thing, Robbie. I'd come on and say something contentious for the sake of saying something contentious, because then you get a load of people phoning up and arguing with you, and it's fun, but it's easy. And it was when I learnt to shut up and listen that suddenly it all clicked. That's the
yes.
job.
And I think, bear in mind, there wasn't much phone radio when I started. And one of the things, it was a learning process. And what you've just said was on the best possible lessons. If you shut up, a few more things. Show respect, and I genuinely show respect to people like Bill who want to join us. And it's very easy to take the Sir Michael and all the rest of it, and you need to show respect and listen. And the longer you shut up, the more interesting things become. That's been my experience.
Bill, go on, sorry.
In your London days, one of your mottos was phone up and you will be heard.
Did I used to say that?
Yes, you did, yes.
No, I didn't say that. I think that was someone not very bright, Bill, who said that.
Bill, listen, it's nice to talk to you. Stay safe.
It is nice.
It's like 499-1000.
That was great. That was lovely, thank you for letting me speak to Bill. Now, if you're another Bill, we'd love to hear from you. I mean, you know, come on, share it. And these are dark times. So let's not talk dark. Let's try and lift our spirits, if that is. And if you feel like lifting our spirits, give us a call. And the number is...
Catherine, your turn.
0344-499-1000.
I love it. And what is great, we're going to go to a break in a second, but what is great is how quickly, Catherine, both you and I have knelt before the master and have succumbed to the roles of being the humble assistant. I love it.
I know my place.
What's the number again?
0344-499-1000, sir.
You're pushing it now.
This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I tell you what's amazing, Robbie, is how easy it is to do this job from home. Now, I'm in my house, Kath's in hers, I'm guessing you're in yours. We've got Sam, who's, you know, whose life is expendable, it would seem, who's, you know, kind of holding it all together with string and sticky tape. But In fact, not even 3 years ago, this wasn't possible. 3 years ago, me and Catherine took the show to New York for a week, and we had to take these two huge solid suitcases full of equipment with us. Do you remember, Kath, the trouble we had getting those bloody things around?
Yeah, I do. And I do remember you doing a little bit of DIY in the hotel, trying to get all the stuff to plug in properly.
I had to take the internet socket apart. But now, I mean, I'm assuming, Robbie, you've just got a laptop and a microphone or something, have you?
I actually have treated myself to a new computer. My computer was so old, it was still showing black and white movies, and it was seriously old, and I can't chuck it out. So I treated myself to, and I'm told it's called Windows 10. So I've actually got a computer in front of me and a microphone, and I have to tell you, this is in, I did my Jazz FM show from home, from the attic. Yeah. But for you, I've moved down to the bedroom. A real, real luxury bedroom. But you're right. And in the Radio 1 days, we used to do outside broadcasts, as they were called in those days. And I can hear you. We used to have huge vans and huge teams of people. I mean, like more than seven to do an outside broadcast. One of the things we used to do was Young Farmers, who were a feisty lot. Used to enjoy that a lot, actually.
You used to do Young Farmers? What kind of confession is this?
No, I didn't do Young Farmers, but
right.
We...
Did Young
part
Farmers.
Of Radio 1's, it had a speech bit, and with a journalistic background, I got to do a lot of these. And one of the things, of course, is Young Farmers, not just farmers... Young Farmers.
Yes, sir.
And, of course, they had a lot to say. I mean, think about the farming community now. They are the one group of people who don't have to be miles apart from each other, and how can they be looking after the farms? But with young farmers, of course, they have particular problems because of the isolation and finding partners and all the rest of it. So young farmers are interesting people to speak with, I have to say. It was quite challenging for a young Radio 1 person like me at the time.
Robbie, say hello to Susan in Exeter.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Susan.
Yeah, I'm from Essex.
Near Exeter.
I'm from London, yeah. Really.
But some of the letters are the same.
Why I phoned you is because I used to listen to you with my aunt in London. She told me about it. I was only a teenager, about 15, and I told you a poem about David Cassidy, because I was a fan of David Cassidy. It was years ago. I mean, obviously.
Do you remember it, Robbie?
Do you know I do?
Do you
shut up.
Yeah, I do. And now, are you in Exeter or Essex?
Essex.
Yeah, they've both got E's in them.
Yeah.
And so they're very similar.
I'm from Walthamstow. I lived in London then. I was still at school when I phoned you. Yeah.
Can you remember the poem?
I can remember a bit of it. I can just remember it now. You're not an idle, David. You're the best of them all. I sit and gaze and look at you on the bedroom wall. I can't remember all the other bits because I was only young. Because I had all these pictures in where I used to live in the flats on my in the cupboard door, and I used to
have
myself seeing.
Yeah, there. I mean that was a. Do people still do that? Do you think have pictures of their?
Because I was only, as I say, quite a young.
How young were you to
about
be a David Cassidy?
About 15, I was.
15?
When Good I gracious me. You, I was only young, I was still at school.
Yeah, but I mean, for a David Cassidy fan, 15 would make you old, I would have thought. You would be one of the more mature David Cassidy fans.
Yeah.
That's lovely. I
remember your music. You know the theme music? It was an unusual theme music that you used to have on your show.
What, did it sound like a snake?
It went do 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 do. It had a funny sort of up and down.
Because there was do 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 do, and then there was. I get asked so much about the snake one, can you hum it to me again? I'll tell you which one it was.
I couldn't tell you, but if I heard it now, I would know what it was.
Oh, did he go dun 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 dun?
Oh,
no.
It had more of a high and low tune, if you know what I mean.
A high and low tune?
I'm not a very good singer.
Go on, do it again, go on.
It's a sort of up and down tone. Bum, 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 bum.
I think it is. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, yeah. A David Cassidy fan, that's brilliant.
I know.
Absolutely brilliant.
I wrote this poem and I wanted to tell
you. Hang on, Susan. Look, this is for you. Susan.
See the funny little clown. See the puppet on a string. Wind him up, he'll sing. Give him candy and he'll dance.
I love a bit of David Cassidy, Sue. I've seen David Cassidy in concert a couple of times.
Was that David Cassidy?
Yeah,
it's David Cassidy.
It was Donny Osmond or David Cassidy, and I was his fan.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Lovely bit
of Cassidy. You know, it's lovely to hear from you. Yes, thank you very much for taking the trouble to call.
I always enjoyed the programmes. So we used to stay up late then. And I always enjoyed
Naughty
your
girl.
Program.
What time did you stay up to? That will be after 10 o'clock.
I used to stay around my aunt's because my parents worked. So I used to go around in the holidays. You know, it was my dad's sister. And my aunt used to sit up, you know, listen to the radio. And I used to listen as well, so
good. There's nothing like something on the wireless, is there?
No, I enjoy all these programs
good.
Very much.
Thank you ever so much for calling
us, Susan.
I really appreciate. Yeah,
take
and
care.
And David Cassidy will appreciate it as well.
03444991000. We get old people phoning us up, and we get young people phoning us up. Good evening, Thomas.
Hi, Ian.
Hey,
Hi,
Thomas. How you doing? How you doing, Thomas? You good?
Yeah.
Say hello to my friend Robbie. Rob,
radio stations.
Say that again, my friend. What did you say?
Thanks for the advice about listening to different radio stations.
Did it help?
Pardon?
Did it? It's not the greatest line for some reason. Did it help? Let me just explain to Robbie. I've got my friend Robbie Vincent here, who kind of invented all of this nonsense. Thomas phoned in, Robbie, and he was just getting a little bit... He's a young lad, as you can tell. He was just getting a little bit anxious, a little bit worried about all of the news that was coming out, and it was kind of getting him down a little bit. And I suggested, instead of listening to talk radio or LBC or, you know, kind of where it's constantly talking about what's going on in the world, maybe listen to a bit of Radio 4. Maybe listen to a little bit of Radio 4 Extra, where there's still people talking. But
how old is he? How old are you, son?
I'm 12.
12?
Yeah.
Oh, I used to love being 12. Do you know that? I used to love being 12 because I used to go to school and I used to hate school.
And I love school.
You love school?
Yeah, I love it.
You've got to understand, schools have changed. When I went to school, it was all the cane and do this and do that, and you don't have the creative and interesting teachers, not so many as you have now. It's a more challenging thing to be a teacher. Would you like to be a teacher?
No.
No?
No, I enjoy learning new things.
You enjoy what? Lemonade?
Learning new things.
Learning new things, you see? Now, why do you think you like learning new things? Because there's lots of 12-year-olds, you know, who don't want to learn new things.
To give myself new opportunities. Thing
that makes you different.
Get more opportunities. Here's the thing I was saying to someone the other day, Thomas. When I was a young man, your age and a little bit older, I didn't really care about school. And I look back now and just think, my God, all that information those people were prepared to give me, and I wasn't ready for it. And and I'm kind of thinking now about possibly going back to college and maybe doing another degree or doing a course or doing something. Because now, at 46, nearly 47, now I want to learn. 12, 13, 14, 15, I was a cocky young so-and-so, and I thought I knew it all. And now I'm just, teach me. You know, I want to learn stuff. So to have that at 12 is quite remarkable.
Like, I guess it runs in the family, because my parents are extremely clever people.
And
grandparents.
Maybe that's why you want to... look at new things and different things. Do you think your parents are encouraging you to do that? Maybe he doesn't know the word encourage. Do you think?
Know the word encourage.
You tell him, Thomas. Good. Don't take any back chat from Robbie Vincent.
But he disappeared. I was very worried.
Hang on a minute, I want to hear
what he wants us. Do you think it's possibly your mum and dad's encouragement that make you want to go and look at and listen to different things?
Partially. It's just my own determination to be the best of myself.
Imagine you're really old, Thomas, like me, or Catherine, or...
Very old, like me.
Yeah, let's not get carried away with it. But what? What? Where do you think you... Where would you like... This is an impossible question. But I'm going to ask it anyway, because they're the fun ones. Where do you think you'd like to be in 30, 35 years' time?
I don't really mind as long as I'm happy.
This kid's got it all, man. This is like we're talking to a young Buddha. This is super Zen. Thomas, it's nice to talk to you. Take care. We got a bit worried yesterday when you disappeared so suddenly. It's nice to hear you. 0344 499 1000. Well, let's... Okay. Robbie, say hello to George.
George.
Rainbow George. Wandering Rainbow George nowadays. How are you, Robbie?
Rainbow George.
How are
George, you must be 200 years old, for goodness sake.
No, 79 years, 7 months and 8 days.
Okay. Dear listener, those of you who are not aware, this is a man that was a legend in his own lunchtime. If I remember, he stood as a member of Parliament every other week, was a regular caller, and I'm trying to think of another word other than... Did you get your knighthood or not?
No, but I was standing for Captain Rainbow's Universal Party, and it's being resurrected in its own way, and it's really... Yeah, it's really lovely to talk to you, Robbie. When did you start? What year did you start broadcasting?
Oh, I can't remember that far back. What year did I? Okay, what
year? It was now, before Rainbow, radio was invented, wasn't it, I think?
No, George, yes, I can remember the... Around about the time of the three-day week, which was a crisis period... if George, you would remember this, where we were encouraged to go and share showers and baths with people living next door to save power.
Yeah, I can't remember what year it was.
It was in the 80s, was it? Or I can't remember. But whenever that was, it would have been around about then. And that, in its way, certainly not a crisis as we've got now, but they were difficult times.
They were,
all the lights going off.
I still remember a 1985 call that I had with you. It was on July the 10th. It was my mother's 70th birthday, and I'd been planning big things to happen on that day, and none of the big things I'd been trying to make happen got anywhere near to happening, but... They sunk the Greenpeace ship, the Rainbow Warrior, that day, and you weren't talking about it, and I phoned in and got you talking about it.
Yeah, that was in New Zealand, yes?
Yeah. It was me going down with the Rainbow Warrior day. And 4 days later, I'd been trying to book Wembley Stadium because I was going to celebrate everything that would have
your
happened.
Mum's birthday. Yeah, I know, George. Listen, this is a treasured call for me. I'm pleased to hear you're still around. Did you still live in Hampstead?
Highgate nowadays.
Highgate. it's an absolute pleasure to hear from you, and may you continue to haunt phone-in presenters for as long as you carry on, George. It's great to hear
George,
from you.
Thank you very much indeed. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. We were kind of joking, Robbie, about you inventing this, but you did in this country, didn't you? This kind of radio.
Well, yeah, well, I don't like to say that because there'll always be somebody else who said, no, I invented it. But the truth of it is that the three-day week came along, television switched off at 10 o'clock from memory, and at Radio London, no one was listening to the station anyway. And I said, well, look, why don't we have a phone-in show? Because I'd heard phone-in radio from America, where it'd been going, as you know, for ages. It was just like every other program or every other station at one point. It was such big news. And I couldn't see any reason why it shouldn't be the case over here. But there were problems. And one of the major, major problems was our telephone system coping with it. And during the crisis program, which I did, which was with the three-day week, and I think I mentioned it to you before, Ian, and it is true that there was this whole subculture where the phone system, the programs were so popular, the phone systems couldn't cope. So you'd have all these people on cross lines having their own radio show and chatting to each other. And they actually formed a Radio London Cross Line Club. And that'll ring bells with a few, I can tell you. So there were a lot of early problems. And, of course, telephone talk has progressed out of all recognition since then. And the great thing about it was you could make all the mistakes that you make in the early days. Yeah. So again, it was a learning thing. But that's where it all started, in a crisis period. No telly.
I miss cross lines. I used to love getting a cross line as a kid, where you'd hear a couple having an argument.
I used to pretend I was someone else.
Yeah, yes. Kat's a little bit younger than us, a little bit. Did you ever have cross lines, Kat, or did you kind of miss that? It was sort of an early '80s thing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I heard about it. It was a thing, but I didn't get to use the phone very much, to be honest. It was like one phone in the hallway that was kind of, you had to ask permission to use. No, I don't think I ever experienced a cross line, but I knew that existed.
Oh, yeah. It was a big deal. I remember my mum going to make a phone call one evening, and she said to me and my sister, "Joe, Ian, quick, come quick and listen, I've got a cross line." And we spent the next 10 minutes just listening in on someone's conversation until one of us laughed and someone on the phone went, "Is there somebody there?" And then we hung up. But that was like an evening's entertainment, was having a cross line.
Yeah, but Ian, there's something even funnier.
Go on.
Well, because I got interested in communications, CB radio came along.
Oh, yes.
And I wonder what on earth it was. It was extraordinary how gullible people were. And some of the strokes I pulled, and I just sat there and in complete disbelief that anybody could believe this nonsense, all sorts of strange things being suggested. And of course, then I realised that Americans were used to a TV team asking a question on a street in New York or San Francisco or Los Angeles. You just answered it, you know. Mm. But of course, over here, because of the way government ran the system, it was like some magic potion. So CB radio, to somebody who was just getting used to it, was a form of broadcasting, wasn't it? A form of contact. Yeah. Which, of course, in this country, we were very, very late in doing. Well, you're fairly young, but I think you probably appreciate we were quite late in catching up, in being able to communicate with each other using radio, CB radio, or telephone talk.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Let's take a quick break, if that's okay with you, Sam. He's typing on the screen, and then we've got Jerry, and then we've got Alistair, and we could have you, dear listener. This is Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle, and Robbie Vincent live on Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
How was Jazz FM the other day? Did you do VE Day? Did I read?
Yes.
How'd it go? Is it all right?
Absolutely fantastic. It was just wonderful. I enjoyed it a lot, and we're doing it again next Monday as well. Oh. And what a lot of people don't know is I didn't know I was going to do a second programme, but they asked me to do it on air. You know, you get people talking in your ear, Ian, and dear listener, if I can share this with you, for some people, it's a complete bane. You know, it drives you potty. People saying, "Oh, do this, say this, ask this, do that." And, of course, after a few gruff words, they stop doing it. But it does drive you mad. And I was just thinking about the young farmer thing. I remember saying to somebody who kept giving me questions to ask, I said, and we were recording it, I said, "You ask me that one more time, you give me a question to ask, and I'm going home." And it shut her up. It really worked really well. Now, what was I talking about? I've forgotten now.
It doesn't matter. I can't do it on TV. I can have people talking in my ear because I can kind of separate my brain. But on radio, I can't. And I have to... Kath sits in the studio with me, but Sam types on the screen. I can just about cope with that. But a voice in the ear, while I'm doing radio, it just throws me off kilter. Were you... When I first started in this industry, Robbie, I was an idiot, to be honest, and I was difficult to work with, and it came from insecurity. It came because I was constantly, they call it imposter syndrome. I was constantly waiting for the tap on the shoulder in TV and radio from someone saying, we've made a terrible mistake. You obviously haven't got a clue what you're doing, so we're going to let you go. This is the person we meant to hire. And because I was so scared of that, I was not a great person to work with. I was difficult. Let's put it politely. I was difficult. I think I hope, and I've worked at it over the past, 10, 15 years or so. I know I'm a lot better to work with. Would you ever say that you were difficult at any point?
Everybody says I was terribly difficult.
Do you agree with them?
Well, I think there's a difference between this is quite deep, by the way. I think there's a difference between in a work environment. There's a difference between being difficult and not tolerating fools gladly.
Yes, there is.
And I think that's what it was, because if in the job you do, it doesn't matter what it is, any job. Whether you're driving a train with great pride and you want to get in on time and you want to do the job properly, or whether it's your responsibility of making sure that the area of a big city is cleaned well or swept well or whatever it is. The one thing you don't want is somebody who doesn't have that same standard as you have. Mm. So then you become what they call a difficult person. But you ain't a difficult person. You just don't tolerate fools gladly.
You want it done. You want the job done to the best of everyone's abilities.
Yeah, and anybody listening now, whatever they do, whatever their job, they would probably be the same. Not all of them, but a lot of people would be the same. They would want it done in the way they wanted it done. And that's not an unreasonable thing to ask, is it?
No. I was just thinking then, your voice hasn't changed at all. And this is the magic of radio, right? On TV, if you don't see someone for 5 or 10 years, whoever it is, man or woman, they come on, you go, oh, and he put on a bit of, oh, God, she's looking old, isn't she? But on radio, that, and we're all like that, however lovely we like to think we are. Oh, she wants to get those roots done. But on radio, you don't get any of that. And you, on radio, you look, Robbie, exactly as you did 35 years ago.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
you sound the same. Go on, you sound the same.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the good face for radio, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
That's great. Steve Wright said that. I always remember Steve Wright saying that. He said, I've got a great face for radio. And I thought, that's really, really rather witty.
Robbie, say hello to Jerry.
We've got some calls.
Say hello to Jerry.
No. Have you noticed there's been nothing about sport? And I'm delighted.
Oh, God.
You could talk greyhound racing, but nothing else.
Me and Catherine are not big sport fans.
Now, I think that's admirable.
Yes. God, it's so boring. Jerry, you're through to Robbie.
Oh, hi, Ian. Hi, Kath. Hi, Sir Robbie. What a pleasure it is. And as I was listening to you about 45 years ago, maybe a bit more, it just evokes so many things. Can I just play something which evokes memory for me and a lot of listeners and probably for you? Just one second.
Go on.
Here we go. Do you remember that?
What is that?
It sounded like a...
Sounds like a nightmare.
No, that was Led Zeppelin's only number one hit, I think that sounded like.
Say that again? Sorry, I put the phone next to the speaker.
Yeah, can you hum it to me?
Earth, Wind & Fire. The Earth, Wind & Fire song that you used to play.
Was that Earth, Wind & Fire?
That was Earth, Wind & Fire.
God, that sounded, I'm going to be honest, that sounded bloody awful.
which Earth, Wind & Fire track was that?
It was the end of... It's on That's the Way of the World.
Okay. Oh, is that? Yeah. Ramsey Lewis did a great version of that. Was that what it was? Wow.
He did...
I don't have that version. That was obviously a remix.
No. Usually, because
it sounded like a remix.
It was like an intermission. It was an intermission song we used to play.
Oh, was it?
Between
Okay, come on. Apart from a strangulated Earth, Wind & Fire track.
Sorry, you didn't.
I want to know. Tell me what was one of your favourite calls you've ever heard on a phone-in show?
Oh, gosh, probably lately it's got to be Barry.
We have a regular caller, Robbie, Barry from Watford, who's a very old gentleman, and he's been phoning in almost every night to try and keep people's spirits up during this very tense time. So Barry's done some good calls.
Okay.
Yeah, he's entertaining in sometimes, you know, when he's not.
Sometimes. There. I'll let him know sometimes. Jerry, nice to talk to you, mate. Thank you very much.
Jerry, thank you very much. Good to
I want to move to Lynn. Hello, Lynn. You're through to Robbie Vincent. Catherine and I are here as well, but we'll just sit this one out.
I'm keeping it zipped.
Oh, lovely. Thank you so much. Well, I just wanted to say hi, and I wanted to connect with Robbie because, Robbie, I've listened to you for 40-something years. I'm 57 now, actually, and I used to always listen to you on Radio London, and you're absolutely addicted to your show. But I'm a huge soul jazz funk fan and have been. And first of all, thank you for introducing me to so many awesome tunes over the years. It's been absolutely spectacular seeing you live, seeing your taste, etc. And wanted to say that, so one, appreciation for that. And secondly, your show on Jazz FM, we absolutely loved it. There was a massive countdown. I'm on a WhatsApp group, actually, which has about 100 people that are all massively into soul, and we share music and gigs and what have you. And we run a countdown to your show.
On Monday. It's going to be... Yeah, the show this Monday, I'm very proud at. Just finished putting it together. Tell me, give me from the music bit, what would be your two or three favourite tracks?
Well, you know, you opened with it, Bobby Womack, How Could You Break My Heart?
Brother, you know. Bobby, yeah.
But Bobby Womack, Wilton Felder, Teddy Pendergrass, you know, Frankie Beverly.
Frankie Beverly of Maze. I mean, what would be your number one Maze track? Apart from Joy and Pain, which is obviously a signature tune.
My favourite. Yeah, I know. It's a good signature, isn't it? I think, you know, the slow one would be We All One, because that's a, you know, really beautiful song. Before I let go to dance to.
Okay. Well, on Monday, I'm going to have to put a health warning in, because I know there'll be more mature people like you listening, but there might be young people in the room as well who will wonder what on earth you are doing when you leap to your feet and dance. So I will make sure, having spoken to you, I promise, I will remind people, younger people, not to get alarmed. If all of a sudden there is a track that wakens up retired dancing feet. And it's lovely to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. 0344.
By the way, dear listener, Ian is here, and there seems to be other people in the studio as well who would like to speak to you. So don't be shy. Give him a call. And in a female voice, I'm now going to hit the female voice number. Can you do it, please? The number to call is...
Oh, I think it's me. 0344 499 1000.
You're lucky you can you, get told to F off.
Now I'm going to go to the slow one. Can I have that number, please, a bit more slowly in a female voice? Go.
0344. Four.
Robbie doesn't want his testicles.
Four, 9, 9, 1000.
Oh, very good. Oh, great.
We're not really supposed to do this, but I don't care. When exactly is your show on Jazz FM, and so people can have a little listen?
Oh, when is it? It's a bit like a book, isn't it? That's the other thing. I used to love doing an interview with somebody who'd written a book and never mention it. It was a real challenge.
Yeah.
And there used to be some really smart asses. And what they did is, when they came in to do the interview, and I knew what they were up to, they would see how many times that they could mention the name of the book.
Yeah.
Now, to be serious, I would obviously give an author a credit for a great book. But just some of them were hilarious. It was really, really very, very funny. And I used to read the books. And this used to freak these people, because I actually used to read the books. And one guy, and I'm desperately trying to remember the name. But anyway, one author said, he said, you've read the book. I said, of course I've read the book. What do you mean you've read the book? I said, and he said, well, he said, I don't think we should go on any further. He said, because you'll give the story away. Anyway, my show is on Jazz FM. It's at 10 o'clock on Bank Holiday Monday. And
in the morning.
If you have retired dancing feet, I want to get them dancing again.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning.
10 o'clock in the morning. I know you'll be asleep, but don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned... We
now have recording methods. Oh, no, listen again. No, listen again. Not recording, listen again. Sorry.
No, you say you mentioned the book thing. I do. If we get someone... We don't get people in very often that are plugging stuff. We just get people on that we like. And if they happen to be plugging something, that's beautiful. But I've always made a point of reading the book or seeing the film or listening to the album. It just seems polite.
But you have to... But Ian, you would know as well as I do that these authors would have actually been interviewed by people who, A, didn't know who they were.
Oh, of course.
B, hadn't read the book. C, wouldn't have understood the book if they read it.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like the thing that used to drive musicians potty, and particularly writers, and I'm very, very interested in writers, and a classic question from an idiot broadcaster, and they still do it, is how do you write a song? Or how did you write that? I mean, what a stupid question to ask, but they still do it.
The question that it used to be, what comes first, the music or the words?
Come on then, do some, go on, here's a challenge for you. What about some idiot broadcast questions? I'll give you one. No, I'm going to interrupt you.
Of course you are. I used to do a
programme with a radio station in San Francisco, and in New York as well, and I used to lead the show. It was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and we actually did this topic, and a guy rang from San Francisco, and he said, and they did it via the station, and please forgive me, it was W something, and he said, I was in a plane crash. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, I was in a plane crash, and in America, news crews often got to the scene of a plane crash before the plane had actually crashed. Wow. It was quite extraordinary. They'd have helicopters in the sky, and it was true. They got there so fast. And this guy had more or less just crawled out of a plane crash, and there was more than two or three people in this plane. It wasn't an airline. It was a small aircraft. And he was still in shock and covered in debris. And this local reporter turns up from the TV station and said, "How do you feel?"
That's great.
And give the guy credit. I mean, he didn't call me just after the crash. He called me sometime afterwards, and he was really quite funny about it. How do you feel?
Let's take one more call before Nurse comes to put you to bed, Robbie. Let's go to Alistair. Good evening, Alistair.
Good evening, Ian, Catherine and Robbie. A pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Greetings and salutations and poo-poo-pa-doo, and how do you do? Yeah, Rufus Thomas had a radio show in New Orleans, I think.
Oh, okay.
I love this so much. Sorry. This is my favourite hour I've done. Go on, Alistair.
So, Robbie, to be honest, I've not heard you a lot over the years, because... Opposite to Ian, my problem is I watch too much television. But I do recognise your voice, and because of your experience, I was wondering, what do you think of the state of speech radio today generally? Because this is the only station I listen to. I've tried listening to others.
Are there others then?
Apparently, there's a couple. I don't know what they're called.
I missed you. What was your first name again? Tell me your name.
Alistair.
Alistair. Alistair, are there other? You confused me now, and I'm still quite sharp for my age. Are there other stations? Yeah. Are there? Well, in which country do you listen to them from? Are these talk stations in Berlin or, you know, Afghanistan? Where are these talk stations?
Well, apparently there's one in London. There's one in London that's still going.
Is there?
I've been sacked
from
the
London Brick Company.
That's it, the London Brick Company. What do you reckon? Because I love speech radio.
No, Alistair, can I apologise to Alistair? I'm teasing you a little bit, Alistair. Yeah, you recognise my voice. Do you travel by train?
Well, I have Alistair? Done before, but not. Yes, I do sometimes.
Because I do quite a few of the announcements on the train stations. That's probably why you recognise me, rather than for listening to the radio or stuff like that. But anyway, what were you... I forgot my
question.
Jesus,
answer the question, Robbie. Please answer the question. What do you think of the state of speech radio? It's too late for the news because of you.
I don't know how to answer it, really. Well, it's moved in a very different direction to as it was when I did phone radio, and I think it's improved. It's a lot more. The London Brick Company, for instance, it's very structured, very professional, and makes very good use of telephone contribution. But it is not what went on in the early days. And I think there is still a huge market for it a bit more to be unstructured, you know? And particularly at night, you know, when you never know what's going to happen next, Alistair. I mean, what made you listen tonight?
Well, I always listen to this because...
well, there you go.
That they helped me with me... Well, they helped me get to AA, but that's another story.
You need Alistair. A friend.
Alistair, you need it's a nice friend. To talk to you.
It is nice to talk to you, and he's thank you very much indeed, Alistair.
I like Alistair a lot. You're right. You are getting chucked off. Yes, we're so late for the news. This is awful. But it's not. But I think you're right. This show is a car crash, not just because you're on. But I mean, generally, when me and Kath are doing it, and you know, it's kind of 50-50 between us, it's a mess, and it goes wrong sometimes, and you hear the working out, and, you know, technical stuff goes wrong. And I love it. I love it. I don't want it. I couldn't do slick. And I don't want it to be slick. And I don't want it to be... In the first hour, we're talking about coronavirus. And in the second hour, what do you think of Boris Johnson? I want it to be... Me and Kath have talked about this so much. We just want it to be like a conversation, like it's been tonight.
Yeah.
Like it's been tonight. We didn't talk to you before you came on about what you were going to say or any of that. We just got you on because we knew we'd have a laugh for an hour. And that's it.
Yes, yes.
Go to bed, Robbie Vincent. Go to bed. So lovely to have you on. At Robbie Vincent on Twitter. And is it this coming Monday? I'm so confused with the days.
Yeah,
is it this coming Monday?
It is confusing. Monday is a bank holiday.
Right.
So it's Bank Holiday Monday on
10
Jazz
a.m.
FM.
On Jazz FM.
And thank you for inviting me on, you two.
Pleasure,
it's
mate.
Nice to be with you. And I'm... I hope you enjoyed the hour.
Oh, we love it, Robbie. Honestly, thank you so much. And thanks again for your understanding last week, mate. Stay safe.
Peace and anytime
you want to come on, we'll speak to you soon. Take care.
Okay, peace and love.
Bye-bye. Peace and love. There we go. Right, 0344-499-1000 is the phone number. We should probably do the newscast, do you reckon? And we're only 3 minutes late.
Might be best, yeah. Let's have a go.
This is Talk Radio. Talk Radio.